In golden lettering, the word pâté and an exclamation mark spin in a wire speech bubble. Its shadow falls on a white backdrop, along with an image of a cockerel. A burst of brilliant blue and white light against a black backdrop fills the screen. BBC Films in capital white letters forms in front of the explosion of rippling rays of light. The initials for British Film Institute are backlit in white spotlights. Film Forever. In black capital letters, Ingenious sits in the middle of a white stripe. An illustration of the back of a man looking through an oversized golden picture frame. Left Bank Pictures. Pathé, BBC Films, Ingenious Media and BFI present a Left Bank Pictures production based on a true story. 1970. A young woman sits nervously in a hallway amongst other candidates waiting for their university admissions interview. Hands clenched, she rubs her thumbs together and recrosses her legs. University College London. The woman with long, straight brown hair swept back from her neat-featured face cleans her glasses, then puts them back on. In a row of five students, she sits motionless, staring into the middle distance. News footage of Vietnam. Thousands of troops are gathered before a stage.
Here we go, guys. The man you've all been waiting for. Mr. Bob Hope!
Welcome, everybody, to Long Ben, or what I like to call the United States of Vietnam. I hear you guys have been petitioning the president to let me retire. If you think you can shake me off that easily, you need to talk to Raquel Welch.
The woman's called in for her interview.
S. Alexander?
Yes.
Well, right now I want you all to sit back and relax. It's time to introduce the most beautiful girl in the world. Of course, that's not my opinion. That's her actual title. From Vienna, Austria, please welcome 1969 Miss World, Eva Ruhr-Burschteier. 34, 24, 36. There you go, boys. This hill just got a lot hotter. Eva, honey, would you like to say hello to these fellas?
Hello.
She enters a room with six male interviewers.
The mature sin.
Sally Alexander?
Yes.
In the cavernous wood-panelled room with stone pillars, Sally takes a seat before the panel. One of the men writes 7 out of 10 on a pad and shows his neighbour. He adds his score. They smile at one another.
So, history. Why have we never had a revolution in Britain?
Eva Ruhr-Burschteier! Oh, boy!
Oh, I'm telling you! If the commies had someone like that to go home to, we'd be out of here by now. Oh, yeah!
The Civil War was won by the rebels, but even then, the New Order only lasted a generation. So, surely, the real question is, why have all our revolutions failed?
It says here you left school at 15.
My school didn't really foster academic ambition. It was more about preparing us for marriage and so forth. So, which is why I would like to get back into education. I have just completed my diploma.
At Ruskin College?
Yes.
Don't they require a trade union background?
I have a trade union background. I was an equity member.
So you're an actress?
No. After school I had to do something and my mother thought that drama school sounded better than secretarial college, so I was never any good. I don't like people looking at me.
And after drama school?
I got married and had a baby.
What does your husband think about you applying for university as a mature student?
Well, we're divorced, so it doesn't really matter what he thinks.
You have a child, Miss Alexander. Studying here is a big commitment.
Yes. I managed my diploma whilst looking after my daughter. I got a distinction. And the man I live with shares the childcare. I would never be late for lectures or miss deadlines. I would be mature. I would be a mature student.
The men scribble on their notepads. Sally exits the room and sighs. In a campus courtyard, a young woman graffitis across a notice board, down with penis envy. Squealing excitedly, the ringleader and her two friends take flight. Introducing Misbehaviour. 2 months later, Sally arrives at a building hosting a women's conference.
Hello.
Sally.
Oh, we're going to need more chairs.
Oh, okay.
Here's Mummy.
Hello.
Mummy. Oh, hello.
What? It arrived this morning after you left.
Oh.
Sally's partner hands her a letter. Sat on the floor in the creche, her mouth drops open as she reads the letter.
Ah. University College London. They're offering me a place. I got in.
Of course they bloody did.
Oh. I'm... Oh, give me a
It's my great pleasure to offer you a place to study history at University College London.
I can't believe it.
Sally enters the meeting room and pins a poster on a notice board. The three graffiti-spraying women strut into the hall and study the paintings and male busts positioned around the room.
So this is a women's conference. Why are there men everywhere?
They don't look that happy about it, do they? Look at that face.
Oh, God. Cheer up, mate. We're not permanent, we're only here for the weekend. You can have a party hat. Don't you worry, mate, we're not going to leave you out.
Excuse me. Sorry, do you mind? Somebody's going to have to clean that up when you're gone.
What, because God forbid we should offend the authorities? Typical Oxford student, no stomach for a fight.
Actually, I'm not an Oxford student. This is a place for people who are trying to get into university.
Oh, right. So you don't want to bring down the male establishment, you just want to see at the table.
Well, if I'm in it, it won't be the male establishment anymore, will it?
Ooh, there she is. Let's sit down. Go.
The guest speaker arrives. The girls sit at the back of the packed hall. Furious, Sally snatches up a banana skin the girls left on the head of a marble bust and puts it in the bin.
What does it mean to be a woman?
That our work will be underpaid and our minds undervalued. Last year, when we proposed a women's conference, men laughed.
And yet here we are, on the road to liberation. It won't be easy. We have to recognise the ways in which we've all been conditioned, trained to be pleasing rather than powerful. Told that our purpose is to enable men, serve them, service them. We have to find a language to describe injustices we haven't even been able to name until now. If the word racism describes one tyranny, doesn't sexism describe another? The belief that women are inferior to men. We have to learn to look at the world with new eyes. We have to ask ourselves, if there was no patriarchy, how would I dress? Or work? Or think? How would I have sex? And who would I have sex with?
No one.
But if we need to change, so does the world. Which is why today we are launching the Women's Liberation Movement. We demand end to discrimination. We demand equal pay for equal work and the childcare to enable that. We want control of our own bodies, contraception and abortion on demand. Up until now, working as individuals, we've just been a ripple on the surface, but together, together, I promise you, we will be a revolution.
Jo and her two friends are the first to get to their feet applauding. The rest of the room follows suit.
What you want, baby, I got it. What you need, you know I got it.
Jo punches her fist in the air and casts her eyeline across the room to Sally. Her jovial expression sours as she spots the redhead glaring at her. Parading in swimwear in front of a judging panel by an outdoor pool are the contestants of the Miss United Kingdom Final 1970. The Morleys speak to reporters.
Miss Bristol. Miss Bristol is 34, 22, 36.
No, lovely face, obviously. Good legs. No defects, knock knees, wonky teeth, that sort of thing. They also have to be unmarried, by which I also mean untouched. And if they're not pretty much 36, 24, 36, it goes without saying the curves won't be in the right places.
But we really do believe that beauty isn't just skin deep. The girls also get marks on charm and grace, deportment.
Swimsuits.
And who's your money on?
Well, Miss Totness is definitely a cook, a nice eyes, and whatever she may be lacking in the boob front, she more than makes up for in the derriere department. And I wouldn't rule out Miss Nantwich either. Lovely blonde hair and a very nice set of curves. Very nice, Miss Nantwich.
And for the Miss World competition, what about this year's special guest?
Who have you got lined up for us?
Who indeed, boys, eh? Who indeed?
Ladies and gentlemen, a warm round of applause, please, for our seven lovely finalists.
Who indeed?
We have, in first place, Miss Nantwich!
Miss Nantwich takes to the winner's podium and is presented with a cup. At home in America, Bob Hope gets dressed before a set of three full-length mirrors. His wife ambles into the dressing room.
Golf?
Oh, I just have a little work to do.
Hiring.
Again?
He pushes past his wife and makes for his vast entrance lobby, where a young woman awaits his arrival.
And you must be Joan.
Wow.
Bob.
Joan Billings.
And right this
Thank
way.
You.
How old are you, honey?
18.
18. Pretty as springtime.
Good morning, Mr. Hope.
Welcome to the Fort Knox of Laughter.
Got a whole warehouse full of this stuff. 50 years of
memorabilia just waiting for the Bob Hope Museum. Just got to get around to building that museum.
We got all my gags, 538,000 of them. Every cabinet is fireproof and earthquake-proof. Isn't it something?
Wow, Mr. Hope, wow. Academy Awards, advertising, agriculture, airplanes.
Yeah, we got every subject under the sun. A to Z, little group of riders down there toiling 24-7 like worker bees. Just bzz, 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 bzz.
Magicians, Malibu, marriage, massage.
Go ahead, pick one out.
Sir, it's Mecca calling again. The Miss World people.
All right, you want to handle this one, Miss Billings? What do you think? Show me what you can do.
Smiling delightedly, Miss Billings positions herself at a desk and takes the phone call from Mrs. Morley.
Hello, this is Miss Billings, Mr. Hope's personal secretary. I'm sorry to keep badgering you, but if you could just let us know either way, we would be so terribly grateful. Yes, I understand. Please hold for a moment. She's asking someone.
Let's hope it's not Mrs. Hope, after what he got up to last time.
Do I want to host the Miss World competition? Well, that's a big decision for a boy to make all on his own.
What do you think, Miss Billings? Do I want to host the Miss World competition this year?
Sure you do. I've always loved that show.
All right, let him know.
Mr. Hope has just confirmed that he'll be delighted to join you again.
That is marvelous news. Eric will be so pleased. Thank you. Many thanks.
Yes. Onwards and upwards. Well done, Mrs. Morley.
Thank you, Mr. Morley.
Well, I think we should celebrate. What do you say?
Oh, sure, Mr. Hope.
What'll it be, scotch and sofa or gin and platonic?
It's not about context. Some things are universal.
The point is that it isn't true. Not when you consider historicism as a theory.
But don't you think...
Historicism isn't a theory. It's just some Marxist pseudoscience.
But that wasn't the point.
Of course you'd say that. You're a bloody imperialist.
Argumentum ad hoc.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. Interesting opinions all round. I look forward to more of the same next week.
Sally's frustrated that the men in her tutorial didn't listen to her opinions. Later, she's at a bus stop reading a book entitled Labouring Men. Across the road, she spots Joe spray-painting over a poster board. Noticing police on the beat turning into the road, she marches over to Joe to warn her.
Excuse me? Hello?
Can't talk now.
No, I don't want to talk. I just want to tell you that...
Oh, shit! Run!
Come on, you two! Come back!
Joe takes flight with Sally running along behind her. They dart down an alley, then hide behind bins, losing the policeman.
Just for sloganizing.
I like slogans. Blimey, that looks racy. Oh. So, you enjoying your seat at the table?
Very much. Thank you.
I'm starting a women's group every Wednesday. 29 Grosvenor Avenue, Islington. 6 o'clock. You should come.
I'm busy Wednesdays.
I got homework.
Leafleting.
Leafleting.
We're helping women cleaners unionise. You should come along.
Thanks. No, I don't really do organised.
That's all right. I don't really do illegal.
Well, if you change your mind, you know where to find us.
This house for the commune. Enjoy your leaflets.
Sally dries her daughter's hair whilst listening to her mum.
And she told me that her daughter, who is also a divorcee, remarried in the sweetest little frock. From Marks and Spencer, would you believe?
Clothes from a clothes shop. Who'd have thought?
The frock isn't the point, as you know. Come on, sweetheart. Let Granny do your tangles. You look tired, darling. Is it still all essays and reading? Don't they ever have socials? Or dances you and Gareth could go to?
You know me, Evelyn. I'm not one for dancing.
Veteran comedian Bob Hope has been confirmed as the special guest at this year's Miss World competition.
Oh, leave it there.
Last year, 100 million people tuned in live to watch Miss Oscar take the crown. More viewers than saw either the moon landings or the World Cup final.
Oh, isn't she lovely? Lovely long legs. I wish I'd had legs like that.
Miss World win has taken Eva Rubensteiner all around the globe.
I'm a Miss World lady.
You look beautiful, darling.
Mum, don't.
Oh, you and your sisters used to love playing Miss World.
We also like to eat our own snot.
I don't want Abby watching that. It's degrading and sexist.
For goodness sake, what does that even mean?
Right, I'm going to put supper on.
Well, I think that's sexist. Making poor Gareth cook dinner. I wish you'd be careful, darling. Some of your attitudes, they're very emasculating. Look at you. It's a twirl.
Sally's shocked to see her daughter parading in front of her, pouting and striking poses. A new day. Wearing a long brown winter's coat and a tan floppy hat, Sally walks along a street in Islington, with kids playing football in the road and and a gasworks looming over the terraced townhouses. She turns into Grosvenor Avenue. Her pace slows as she reaches number 29.
Crimson King.
She walks through the rundown communal house looking for Joe.
Offices down that put women's liberation on the map.
Oh, I've got matches. Anyone got the bus fare to Fleet Street?
I'm serious.
Isn't Arthur a bit male anyway?
Oh, everyone, this is, what's your name?
Sally.
She's a student.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, come in.
Sorry.
I'm just saying, you can talk all you like, but unless we start taking direct action, nothing's going to change.
You know, there's a motion to demonstrate outside the Miss World contest.
Oh. Who proposed that?
Hazel Tort and Jam Williams from the Peckham Rye Women's Group. There's a meeting about it next week at the Women's Liberation Workshop.
What is the point in wasting our time on a beauty pageant when there are serious injustices to worry about?
Well, sexual objectification is serious.
Yeah, that competition is one big fat celebration of oppression.
What really gets me is they sell it as family entertainment. My daughter was watching a television report the other day and I
got a television?
Yes. Haven't you?
The media is a mouthpiece for the establishment, which this commune doesn't collude with on any level. So now we don't have a television.
But, if you won't talk to the media, then how are you going to get your message out?
All eyes fall on Jo. With a furrowed brow, she ponders her thoughts. Jo heads for the door. Sal is asked to follow.
Well, come on, then. Sarah, come with me.
Where are we going?
You'll see.
Jo leads her downstairs into a room set up as a printing workshop. Posters for various campaigns line the room.
I like them. They're good, aren't they?
Is this what you do?
Oh, not for money, if that's what you mean.
How do you live, then?
Well, I do some cleaning. Joe paints scenery. We share money like we share everything else.
We keep it in a drawer in the kitchen. Don't nick it, will you?
Joe went to art college. She's very creative.
I've seen some of her work.
I went to art college too, actually.
Come on, then. You write the message. I'll make sure everyone sees it.
Sarah slides a stool over to Sally. Sally drops her bag to the floor, takes a seat on the stool, and starts to write out a slogan on a sheet of white paper. Sarah and Joe help. They use a printing machine, then apply wooden block stamps to add their red-coloured logo. Sarah turns on a hairdryer to dry the prints hanging from a washing line. Time passes. The poster's reading, Women's Liberation Movement will demonstrate against Miss World 20th of November, are scraped off the Miss World headquarters doors. Mr. Morley arrives outside the building in a chauffeur-driven car.
You're an elusive man, Mr. Morley. Peter Hayne, anti-apartheid movement.
Never get involved in anything political, son. We're a family entertainment show.
Well, taking only white candidates from a predominantly black country every year is political, Mr. Morley. In fact, I'd say it's an unequivocal endorsement of a racist regime. 80% of South Africa's population are black or coloured, and they have no rights, none.
Excuse me.
They tell me 27 million people watch your show in the UK alone. Jesus, man, that's an endorsement that packs quite a punch.
So you get the South African cricket team banned, now it's my turn, is it?
Boycott the South African candidate or we pick at the show. Trust me, your sponsors won't thank you for that kind of publicity.
And what would you say if I was to tell you we've decided to take a white and a coloured girl this year?
You're joking, aren't you?
I thought that'd take the wind out of your sails. See him out, won't you?
Are you the man? This way?
Get on to the South African office, tell them to find a decent-looking black girl, get her on the same flight as the white girl, ASAP!
South African office, please.
I think you'll find I'm a man not much given to joking this day.
Mr. Moore,
Eric, I need a word.
Some group calling themselves the Women's Liberation Movement. Apparently, they're going to overthrow the patriarchy.
Overthrow the what?
The patriarchy. Male establishment. Men like you, Eric. I've been getting calls from journalists. They want to know our response.
Bloody Women's Liberation.
I told you, by the time I found out she had already committed me to the show, it was too late to pull out.
The naughty little intern, twist your arm.
Doll, I'm giving a show. That's it. In, out, end of story.
It wasn't how the story ended last time.
You want to stay home? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't. Listen, I wouldn't like that one bit.
Well, come on. We can go to London, have some fun.
Laura, you've got a sweet tongue when you know you're in the wrong.
I don't know what you want.
An apology. Never again. That's what you said. Miss World, never again.
10 years ago.
It was still a promise.
Oh, my wife, because you are so good...
Bob, don't.
Please forgive me for the sins that I have committed.
Stop it, I said.
And by your good grace, I will not sin again.
Mrs. Hope storms out of their house.
Everything locked down, sir. Lifts disabled, second and third floor sealed like fort locks.
Mr. and Mrs. Morley and their staff parade down a flight of stairs to meet with the chaperones gathered in the foyer.
Right, so we've had all kinds of fun and games in the past with amorous Romeos, but this year our problem's a bunch of anti-establishment mischief makers. So chaperones, stick to your contestants like glue. Anything untoward, Mrs. Morley needs to know about it.
Anytime, day or night.
First coach arriving.
And you boys on security, I'm not employing you to stand around looking like James Bond. Eyes and ears open the whole time, please. Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Philippines. Yugoslavia. Australia. Ceylon. Japan. Hong Kong. Grenada.
Jennifer Poston.
Roger, we cannot have a situation where we have more contestants than chaperones. Do you think somebody could have gone to the toilet?
It's possible.
Well, could you check?
I can do.
Okay, well, I mean, don't go in there, but check.
Oh, my. What a reception. Which country are you from?
Grenada.
Oh, my.
Miss Grenada spots Miss Africa South standing to the side of the reception room looking shell-shocked.
First time away from home. First time away from home. First time on a plane. First time being so cold. I'm the first black South African to take part in this world.
I'm the first Miss Grenada, too. It must be very different.
Yes. Very different.
Africa South, I'm your chaperone. I'm going to be looking after you. No need to look so worried. We're going to take very good care of you.
Everyone has to have a chaperone.
A chaperone? Why do we need a chaperone?
It's a Mecca requirement, Miss Sweden, as stipulated by the contract you signed. Mrs. McKenzie is trained to the highest standards.
Come along now, Miss Sweden.
Up to measurement.
I can walk, thank you.
I'll take your coat.
No sticking out.
I'm not.
35.
Country?
I'm South Africa.
33.
27.
Country? Grenada.
32.
Country?
Sweden.
33. 26.
32.
Just a statutory padding check, dear. Next one, please. Country?
United Kingdom. 32, 35, 33, 26.
The contestants congregate in a dressing room having their hair and makeup done.
You know, maybe things are different in Sweden. That you should try starting out in nowhere, Illinois. I'm telling you, if I hadn't have won a beauty pageant and kept on winning, my life would have amounted to jack shit. The girl who wins this thing is going to take home $6,000. Maybe even earn 30 more. Just accept that the female of the
country
operates under certain constraints. And the smart girl just has to work out how to wiggle around them.
If being smart is all it takes, then how come no black girl has ever won this competition? Maybe sometimes wiggling isn't enough.
Miss Sweden turns to Miss Grenada, who's taken a seat alongside her.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to imply that you couldn't win.
In their bathing suits, the girls line up for a group photo.
Nice big smiles. Teeth. Nice tight bottoms.
So, ladies, a big Mecca welcome to you all. We're delighted to have you with us. And remember, you're the most beautiful girls in the world. All right?
Teeth.
Bring them in.
The press pour into the ballroom.
Hello!
London!
Miss Sweden! Miss Sweden! Miss Sweden! Miss Brown! Miss Sweden!
Miss Sweden!
Miss Sweden!
Miss Sweden! Miss
Sweden! Are you nervous or excited about being the bookie's favourite?
Nervous. Not particularly.
Hello.
Yes, thank you. Fair pop, gents.
Here we are.
How about an arm around each other, girls?
So which one are you, love?
Well, I'm Miss South Africa, and she's Miss...
I think you're Miss South Africa and I'm Miss Africa South, aren't I?
Anti-apartheid spokesman is saying South Africa should be banned from the competition. Where do you both stand on that?
Back home, you wouldn't be allowed in the same bus, let alone the same
Sorry,
competition.
You
must have any...
You know the rules. Let's leave politics to the politicians.
It's a perfectly...
Thank you.
Pete's sake. Show us your legs, Julia.
Oi, 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 oi. She's the organising director, you disrespectful little toad.
It's a perfectly valid...
Get him out!
It's a valid question.
Come on. Come
on. The following morning, newspapers with the headline A World of Protest are delivered to the Miss World office.
Anti-apartheid campaigners have described the decision to include both a white and black South African contestant as a spineless attempt to whitewash a monstrous regime.
Oh, that rag is only fit for chips.
It's the same in all of them. Which judges do we have so far?
Oh, Joan Collins, Glenn Campbell, the executive from the BBC, and, oh, that folksy Danish singer, what's her
name? Nina. You know, sometimes I think for Eric will forever be the 1950s. Well, I'm afraid we must either adapt or die.
Right.
Anyone who thinks this isn't a good idea?
No.
Anyone against? What about trying to find some other women's groups from out of town?
Yeah.
Hazel Trout from Peck and Rye. We'd like to know which group released this communique to the press.
Joe Robinson, Grosvenor Avenue. We thought we'd get the message out in advance. Put us on the map.
We agreed at the last meeting to make the action at Miss World a surprise happening. You people from Grosvenor Avenue, you can't go around making unilateral decisions.
We have a problem with compliance.
Well, now, the BBC want a spokesman to represent our position on television. Peck and Rye doesn't have a spokesman. And we don't engage with the media, so...
Well, Sally Alexander, from the Association of Student Leafleters, she'll do it.
Sally's horrified at the suggestion. Her mouth falls open and the colour drains from her face.
What the hell are you playing at?
What? You wrote it.
You printed it.
Well, no one else is going to do it.
You're the one who thinks the media matters.
That doesn't mean that you can volunteer me to go on television.
Oh, don't be so bloody spineless. It was your idea. Stand by it.
Mrs. Morley is chauffeur-driven to a gentleman's club.
Well, I'm afraid after all these exciting pastimes, judging a beauty contest may seem rather tame.
Absolutely not.
Man must vary his
Mrs. Not Morley, forgive my interruption. Sir Eric Geary, the Prime Minister of Grenada.
Delighted to meet you, Mr. Prime Minister.
Gentlemen, please. Since this is the first year my country has taken part in the competition, I thought it rude not to introduce myself. I must confess to some curiosity, seeing so charming a woman in the Commonwealth Club.
There's no great mystery, I can assure you. I have the very pleasant task of briefing our three new judges. The Ambassador of Indonesia, His Excellency the High Commissioner of Malawi, and His Royal Highness the Maharaja of Merauda.
You'll prove your critics wrong, Mrs. Morley. Miss World does move with the times.
It does indeed.
And just think, if you were also to appoint me as a judge, you'd have representatives from Asia, Africa, and the Caribbean. What could be more progressive?
Indeed.
They raise their glasses. Sally arrives at a TV studio.
This way, please.
Overwhelmed by her surroundings, Sally hesitates before following the man on set.
Take a seat here, please. Thanks. Lord Bligh, Marjorie Jones, Sally Alexander.
Do you think you might be able to rank a couple of seats for Miss World this year?
Of course.
No particular liking for Miss Sweden. Oh, Lord Bligh.
Rather than.
Ladies. Looking rather lovely, if I may say.
We'll be going live in 10 seconds.
Miss Sweden watches the interview on her TV.
You're certainly kicking up a stink about something. I simply don't understand the problem.
Our objection isn't to the women involved in Miss World.
So what exactly is your objection?
Our objection is not to the women.
You've already said that. Answer the question.
Our objection is to the system which accords value solely on the basis of a culturally imposed physical standard.
I don't even understand what that means. Maybe I'm just too pretty.
Beautiful girls have been admired since time immemorial.
Women are not objects. We are not ornaments. We are not here for the pleasure of others.
Sally's every bit as pretty as her.
They should be outlawed. Well, what possible harm can there be in a pretty girl displaying her charms? A woman like Marjorie is not forced to take part in these competitions. She enters of her own free will.
Exactly. I think you women's libbers are just a bunch of killjoys who want to deny the public a bit of innocent fun.
We are not attacking Marjorie or any other contestant. We are protesting because this competition symbolises our exploitation. Now, why should Marjorie have to earn her place in the world by looking a particular way?
Why should I? Why should any woman? You don't. He doesn't. Why should we?
Has she got a point?
Oh, I don't deny her sincerity, but to demand that Miss World be banned? I mean, it's over-emotional, puritanical nonsense.
The only other forum in which participants are weighed, measured, and publicly examined before being assigned their value is a cattle market.
A cattle market? Well, that's an unappealing analogy, and honestly.
Sitting at a dressing table in her bedroom, Miss Grenada removes her hairpieces, then gets up to turn off the interview playing on the television. She sits back down before the mirror, picks up her hairbrush, and starts to groom her long, wavy black hair.
And we're off air.
Oh, very good. Thank you very much, everyone. That went very well.
Thank you, Robin.
Lord Bligh and Miss Jones, of course.
You did very well, indeed. It's extremely clear.
I mean, I really enjoyed my time on the pageant. I don't really know what she's talking about.
I'm sure everyone did and enjoyed watching it.
Sally sighs as she overhears the panel's comments. In a ballroom, Mr. Morley briefs the contestants.
This rehearsal is your chance to get it right, because if you fall flat on your face down this hole or that hole on the night, the world and his wife will be watching. Isn't that right, Clive?
That is correct.
Now, what I need you all to do now is to make a line all along here, all along the hall, from A to Z. Alphabetical order, please. Come on. Hurry, hurry. Not on the stage, darling, please. Get off the stage, folks. A, B, C, alphabetical order. Come on, we've got a live show in 3 days' time. Herd them, herd them.
Keep moving,
herd them up.
Keep moving.
Herd them, Clive.
I'm
darling, please. Clive, have a look at Japan.
Right, Japan. Find the right space.
Straight, straight line. F. Yugoslavia. What are you doing up here? That's A. Where does Y go? Right at the back. Let's get you down here. Look at her go. There we go. F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, B, U, R, S, T, U, V, W, X. Yugoslavia. Thank you very much.
And through the portal. Through the portal and smiling all the time.
Brazil, Brazil, eyes on me, please. Stop, or there will be accidents. This is a treacherous stage.
Smile to camera one. Lovely smile. The whole world is watching and walking and walking and walking and mind the step. Keep smiling, looking up, looking up. There we are, and we stop here and we turn to camera two. Where's camera two, Clive? Where's camera two? I'm telling you to turn to camera two. There's no camera. Clive, I mean, come on, it's not bloody rocket science.
Right, camera two. What is it? Can someone please find camera two? I'll stand in for it. She can smile at me.
Clive's going to stand in. Clive is camera two, everyone. Clive's standing in. Clive's going to be... Don't do that, Clive. Don't do the hands thing. Stand there. Just don't do anything a camera wouldn't do. Maybe hold the two up so the girls know it's a two. Leave it there, OK? There we are, so that's camera two. Clive is camera two. Give Clive a smile. Keep smiling any way you like. And back and back and back. Mind the step. Good girl, good girl. This is the camera three. This is the camera three's big derriere shot.
Going to get some fresh air.
I'm afraid you can't do that without me. Miss Sweden?
My name is My Crystal Johansson.
Miss Johansson, please, just give me 2 minutes while I get my bag.
Miss Sweden hides in a dressing room.
My, it's Jennifer.
You all right?
Come on in.
She lets Miss Grenada in, then barricades the door shut with a carpet sweeper. The ladies share a cigarette.
You're so serene. I mean, how do you put up with this bullshit?
You are a very lucky person if you think this is being treated badly. After all, you're the favourite to win.
I don't want to be the favourite if this is what it gets me.
There's no point swimming against the tide. One just has to rise with it.
What do you do when you're not being ordered around by a funny English man with strange hair?
I'm an air hostess. But my ambition is to work in broadcasting.
For real? Or just for them to say, Miss Grenada's ambition is...
For real.
You'd be a good broadcaster. You speak so nicely.
I was properly raised. My father's a lawyer, and my mother's a teacher. Elocution and deportment matter, Jennifer.
I work as a model, but I like to study. I thought with the prize money I could maybe come to England and... But it's all just people pushing you around and flashbulbs in your face the whole time.
Not so many flashbulbs for me.
Like I said, it's all bullshit. I mean, doesn't it make you angry?
You know, I think maybe it makes me more determined.
Clive and Eric demonstrate the crowning of the winner.
Congratulations.
Bloody hell, Clive. Don't you take it so seriously. Just leave the crown.
Do you want me to just adjust
leave
the little
crown?
Jennifer and Mai return to the ballroom.
Da-dee-da. Smile on the face, gold crown on the head, walking down the catwalk, minding the step, of course, it's a bloody dream come true. Who would have believed it? Little me, Miss World, and taking it all in. Un, deux, trois, uno, due, crying. If you like, you will cry. Yes, 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 I am she. I am Miss World. I am the one, the beautiful one. I am free. I am she, Miss World.
I like that uniform of yours. You should cut them like that in the military. You could dazzle the enemy into submission.
Mrs. Hope watches her husband flirt with an air hostess.
Oh, I'm serious. This man knows what I'm talking about. Look at him.
You know, it's the funniest thing, Archie. The last time Bob guested on this show, oh, it must be 10 years ago now, he brought the winning girl home with him. Got it into his head he was going to make a movie star out of her. It turned out she didn't have the least aptitude for it. She's still in California, as a matter of fact. Though what she lives off, Lord alone knows. I suppose she found herself a sugar daddy somewhere.
I'm sure she was grateful for the break. I know I am.
How's my script coming, Archie?
We were thinking we could make something of the fact you folks were British. You know, as an opener. Of course, I was born here in London. You can probably tell from the accent.
Ideas, I'm supposed to be funny. Let's try and keep it that way, huh?
So, topics for your dissertations. How are you getting on? No, sorry.
The Industrial Revolution in Scotland.
Good choice. Sally?
I was thinking about looking at it from the point of view of women workers.
It's a bit niche. You might want to rethink. Or at least refocus.
Refocus how?
Perhaps broaden the scope a little. You know, I saw you on TV.
Sally was on TV?
Yeah.
Oh!
Interesting stuff, but don't let it draw you into a cul-de-sac, academically speaking. Your subject needs to have a genuine relevance. Best to steer clear of more minority interests. Lawrence, you need to register your topic by next week.
Sal is infuriated by her tutor's comments. After her lesson, she marches purposefully through the campus. Across town, Jo, Sarah and a couple of other ladies from the Women's Liberation Movement stand across the street from the Prince's Theatre, watching the television crew unload their lorry for the Miss World get-in. Sally meets up with the four women.
Oh, hiya.
Sorry I'm late. You haven't missed anything? I've just been smoking and watching, like in a heist film.
You all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
Well, there's obviously something wrong. What'd you just say?
Turns out my seat at the table was actually a high chair.
What, and you're surprised?
Mr. and Mrs. Morley arrive outside the theatre in their chauffeur-driven car.
That's Eric Morley.
Who?
Mr. Miss World.
Is this going to come forward?
The man who invented this competition, that's his wife.
Infiltrate the theatre.
I don't get what she's talking about.
She's talking about a happening, an unrehearsed happening.
Well, what does that actually mean?
A planned invasion.
What do you mean, infiltrate? Do you mean go inside?
Why not? That's where the cameras will be.
Probably against the law for a start.
Yeah. They're turning oppression into spectacle. Yeah. Let's make a spectacle of our own.
Can we still demonstrate outside?
Of course, we just have an action inside as well. Who'd be prepared to go inside?
Yeah. All the ladies raise their hands.
Oh, hold on. How do we actually get in without being caught?
We buy tickets. Unless that's too organised. And you lot would... you'd have to blend in.
The ladies cast their eyes to their patterned smock dresses, then enter a bedroom to observe alternative clothes hanging in a wardrobe.
Communal clothes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I love this.
No,
you look like a bag lady.
What, I look like you?
This is what you're wearing. This is your style.
I don't
want to wear it.
You look great.
Oh, look, just could you...
Shoes.
Oh, okay. Ladylike.
I look exactly like my mother.
I look like my mother's sofa.
I look like the kind of woman I never ever want to be.
Perfect.
Having changed back into their regular clothes, the women paint new posters, reading Stop This Shameful Cattle Market and Bag Up Flower Bombs. Jo puts on a record player and punches the air in time with the music.
What next?
How about, I'm not beautiful, I'm not ugly, I'm angry.
Yeah! Yay!
Miss World contestants are in a pub limbo dancing. Miss Grenada is next to take her turn.
I can go lower if you like.
Giggling Jennifer takes a seat next to Pearl, Miss Africa South.
This is so nice.
I know. Sometimes I can't believe it's really happening.
I'm a machinist in a shoe factory. And when the boss came to say that I was going to London, everyone on the shop floor was cheering. Standing up and cheering. Now I'm here.
Will it be hard going back?
I can't talk about it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pry.
The authorities warned me. They said if I talk about home, they won't let me back. I won't get to see my parents again.
What?
Before I got on the plane, they showed me all these photographs of people I'm supposed to have nothing to do with.
What kind of people?
Certain journalists. A man called Peter Hain. Political people. Home is home. I want to see my parents again. Sorry.
Maybe home will be different. If you're Miss World.
You're not going to be Miss World.
Girls, you want to dance some salsa?
Yeah!
Jennifer, they're going to dance some salsa. Come on, dance.
A sadness washes over Jennifer as she considers Pearl's situation. She remains in her seat watching the other girls dance. Her jovial expression sours, her brow furrows, and tears glisten in her large, dark brown doe eyes. Sally's mother applies lipstick to her granddaughter, Abby, who's dressed up as an adult, with heels, a pink shawl, and lots of jewellery.
A little cupid bow lip. Perfect. Now, what do you think?
Oh, my.
Glamorous lady. Let's get your hair back.
Sorry, I know I'm really late.
What are you still doing up?
Look at my face.
She didn't want to go to bed until she'd seen you.
Mum, you've put lipstick on her.
Granny says you're very naughty.
I'm really sorry.
What if I hadn't been here? What if I'd had plans?
Mum, I really appreciate everything that you do. I am so sorry.
All this whining and complaining about the patriarchy. Other girls are perfectly happy as they are.
Well, I'm not a girl. I'm a woman.
Heaven's sake, Sally, look at yourself. Divorced, living in chaos and spending every spare hour you've got campaigning. What normal woman would choose to live like you?
Abby, could you go and put your pyjamas on, please, and wash that off your face? I'll be in a minute.
Thank you.
And while you're off with your fanatics, Gareth and I are looking after your daughter. Seems to me liberation just means getting someone else to do your job for you.
So you think it's all right, do you, that one half of the world has all the power and the other half just has to lump it?
Oh, don't be so melodramatic.
Don't be so blind. You couldn't even get a bank account without Dad's permission. The doctor wouldn't give you birth control.
That was one bank manager and one doctor.
Just because you swallowed it doesn't mean I have to.
Do you know what really makes me laugh about all this? You fighting for women's rights when you always took your father's side. When I grow up, I want to be like Daddy.
Oh, that's because he did things. He smoked cigarettes and went in taxis and had adventures. I wanted to have adventures.
I'm sorry that you found me so dull.
I didn't find you dull. You were just trapped. You were trapped in this restrictive, pokey little domestic world with no aspiration and no opportunity. Of course I didn't want to be you. Nobody should have to be you. That's the point.
Evelyn gulps, wounded by her daughter's heart-hitting words.
And what would have happened to you and your sisters? If I'd thought like you, if I'd done what you're doing, neglected my pokey little domestic world, neglected my marriage, neglected my children. You think you can have the same freedoms as a man, but you can't. You can't.
Evelyn gathers up her coat and bag and storms out of the apartment. Sal is left pondering her mother's words. Jennifer, wearing a figure-hugging orange-pattern mini-dress and sparkling gold heels, enters the dimly lit ballroom, lined with round banqueting tables and chairs. With no one around, she takes the opportunity to practice walking down the catwalk. Jennifer stops and poses for camera two. A broad grin creeps across her face. She turns to smile alluringly at the camera on the opposite side of the room before she continues to sashay towards the end of the stage. She strikes another pose, one leg crossed over the other, shoulders back and chest out. She parades towards the end of the platform and breaks out into a wide smile, revealing her perfect teeth. She gracefully turns and poses with a glancing look over her right shoulder, then glides across the podium to the far side. Her calm exterior relaxes, and a nervous expression takes hold. Pearl, Miss Africa South, is in her bedroom. With a look of wonderment on her face, she runs her hand over the luxurious white material of her jewel-encrusted high-neck long-sleeved ball gown. She holds the garment up to her body and struts with her head held high across the room with it. She smiles delightedly and rubs her cheek over the soft fabric. Jennifer stands motionless at the end of the catwalk, staring out into the middle distance. She sighs heavily, turns on her heels, then struts back down the podium from whence she came. Outside the venue in the dead of night, an outside television broadcasting van explodes.
Well, if the anarchists won't have a pop, they can join the bloody queue, but they'll have to get through me first.
Anarchists? She's sleeping.
Sal.
What?
Something's happened. There's been a bomb outside the theatre. There's going to be more security, more police. I'm so sorry.
About what?
That you're going to have to call it off.
No. No, I'm... Well, we'll just be more careful.
Careful? It was a bomb.
Yes, I understand that.
If anything kicks off, the authorities aren't going to muck about. What if you get arrested? The university will just chuck you out. What about Abby?
It's not your decision.
No, but you know bloody well I'm right.
Unimpressed, Gareth storms out of their open-plan kitchen living room. Sal is shell-shocked by the news and the implications of the bomb. Her brown eyes flicker from side to side as she contemplates her thoughts. Time passes. Sally walks briskly to Grosvenor Avenue to meet with the Women's Liberation Movement. She climbs the steps to the property and knocks on the door.
Blimey, you're early. Come in. Do you want a brew? I'll just put the kettle
Joe,
on.
Joe, they're ramping up security at the theatre. Somebody planted a
bomb. Yeah, we heard. It was the Angry Brigade. Well, it's not going to change anything for us, though, is it? We're not going to let their actions scupper ours.
An awkward moment of silence passes between them.
Oh, I see. What, has it got a bit too risky now, has it? A bit too much like the real thing?
I came to warn you, but seeing as you already know...
No, don't worry. I'm bugger off home. Leave it to us to make sure your daughter doesn't have to grow up in the same shitty world we did. Just remember, right? You get the world you deserve, and if you don't fight, you deserve the world you fucking get.
Jo storms off through the house, leaving Sally rooted to the spot in the hallway with her words ringing in her ears. After some deliberation, she lets herself out of the house.
It wasn't in the venue itself.
No, Mother Julia, I don't need any hand-holding, damn it. I just want to know you people aren't going to screw this thing up again. Where's Eric and all this? Where's your husband?
Actually, I'd
rather... You know, I read there were protests planned. Were you going to mention that, or did you figure they'd be more fun if they came as a surprise?
The protesters march towards the theatre. Sally and Gareth are in their lounge reading. Abby sits on the floor by her mum, playing with a doll. Sally rips her glasses off of her face and sighs heavily. She observes Abby chatting to herself as she carefully wraps a bandage around her doll's arm. Sally's brows knit together and her eyes glaze over. Sally gets up from the floor and exits the room. She changes into an evening dress, then returns to the lounge. Gareth stares at her incredulously. Sally flops against the doorframe with an apologetic expression etched upon her face. Gareth gets up from his seat and crosses the room towards her.
I just want you to be safe.
I know.
So?
I know.
A half smile creeps across his face. Guests and audience members are confronted with a sea of protest banners as they arrive at the theatre.
Thank you.
Sally arrives on foot outside the theatre. She searches the faces of the protesters looking for Joe. The coach transporting the contestants pulls up to the red carpet. The girls stare out of the windows with puzzled expressions on their faces as they notice the people with placards. Bob Hope and his assistant are driven to the theatre.
So this is the eye of the revolution, huh? My God. Up close, it sure is revolting.
Bob peers out of the car window. He makes eye contact with Sally. He blows her a kiss. She shakes her head disapprovingly at him. Baffled by the fuss, he raises his hands in the air.
Over here, miss.
Everything's running like clockwork, sir. Hello there.
Thank you. Miss, I need to check your bag, please.
Here's my bag.
Before anyone sees, you need this one as well, please. Sorry. Excuse me. Quick, give me my ticket.
No.
What?
Why should I? You already let us down once.
What? I told the usher that you've got it.
So, tell him you lost it and then sod off. Can't risk you ballsing this off.
You are the one bossing this up. Look, he's coming, and if he gets here, he's going to search you. He's going to search me. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Oh, thank you very much. Idiot.
Individualist.
Almost 30 years after the coronation, the eyes of the world are once more focused on London and the dream of a crown. 50 of the most beautiful girls from across the globe are arriving here tonight, knowing that one of them will go home as Miss World 1970. North, south, east, west, who's the girl we love the best? Whatever the outcome, one thing is certain. One of these beauties is going to become the luckiest girl in the world.
Können Sie es enger machen? I think I'm supposed to be Britannia. I wonder if Britannia's a goddess, or maybe she's just a symbol, like the British bulldog. At least they didn't dress me up as Churchill.
Wearing her national costume, Miss Grenada sits in the dressing room staring at her reflection in the mirror and closes her eyes tightly.
Maybe if I just have it over the eye, like Veronica Lake.
But she's fun for you.
Oh, why? I think it looks cute. Hear that? Someone always wants to rain on your parade.
What are you meant to be?
An automatic princess.
I thought you were a tree. Bat Pop is coming!
Where, Mr. Hope? Can I just say what an honour it is to
have
you?
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Hi.
What is this, the waiting room?
Mr. Hope!
How are you, girls? How are you?
Pleasure.
USA.
Yes.
Sure as I am.
Okay, everyone. Standing by to go live. In 10. 9. 8. 7, 6, 5.
Michael Aspel compares the proceedings.
Good evening, or good morning, depending on which part of the planet you are tuning in from. And welcome to Miss World 1970.
Hurry, come on.
This parade of international female perfection is even more of a male pulse racer than ever before. Astronauts can go to the moon and fetch back prime lumps of rock, but they won't find anything to equal these treasures of good old Earth. And there's no need to look any further than here tonight for heavenly forms, who, from this stunning lineup, will be named Miss Magnificent. It may not be rocket science, but it's certainly going to be a difficult decision for our judges, and for all of you watching at home.
6 months. Holland, Japan, 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 stop pushing. Japan, where's... Come on, Mexico, arriba, arriba.
I think we know the audience's favourite. Listen to that applause.
Miss Sweden steps onto the stage.
Tonight, planet Earth has just one thing on its mind. Girls, 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 girls.
Bloody Yugoslavia. Come on, Yugoslavia, please. Please, darling, we haven't got time for this.
Once in the wings, the girls run back to the dressing rooms. Eric and Julia direct them.
Well, as we were enjoying the national costume parade, the judges...
USA, Australia, Ceylon, Ecuador.
Ecuador! Ecuador. Where's Ecuador?
Try Malta! We'll be seeing the girls in evening gowns, and then it's a quick change into swimwear. So any ladies planning to lock their husbands in the cellar before the bathing suits make an appearance, hold off just a little longer.
A short list of girls line up in the wings in their evening gowns. Jennifer's delighted to see Pearl in the cut.
We need it.
You started the evening with more than 50 girls hoping to become Miss World. We now have 15.
Miss Africa South, wearing her long white dress, is first to take to the stage.
And, ladies and gentlemen, if your favourite isn't among them, time to get a new favourite. First, number one, Miss Africa South, Pearl Jansen.
With a fixed grin on her face, Pearl steps into the spotlight. In his dressing room, Bob Hope does a soft shoe shuffle before a full-length mirror.
My favourite destination.
Sandra is a hazel-eyed blonde and works as a model. Her measurements are 36, 22, 36.
Well, good, an English speaker. You do speak English, don't you?
I certainly hope so.
Well, I'm sure the audience will agree and do it very charmingly. Next, number 21, Miss Grenada Jennifer Austin.
Miss Grenada is 22 and works as an air hostess. She has brown eyes and black hair, and her measurements are 34, 25, 36.
Well, I'm sure it's a wonderful life being an air hostess, but do you have any other ambitions?
Actually, I've always wanted to work in broadcasting.
Sounds as if you're after my job. Perhaps you should be the one interviewing me.
I'd love to.
On second thoughts, you look like the sort of person who might get my secrets out of me. So before I give away too much, perhaps it's time for you to join the others.
Why don't you?
Ladies and gentlemen,
say?
Our final 15 contestants.
Feeding through.
That's it. Line up here so they can see you. That's it. I think we're all here. And a lovely lineup it is, too. Well, as you all know, there are two sides to every question. And this is your chance to see both of them. Girls, if you could please turn.
Standing in a line on the stage in their swimming costumes, the girls turn in unison so the camera can pan across their derrieres. Sat in the audience, Joe and Sally are horrified at the sight.
Wait till the girls on our stage.
Joe becomes agitated. Sally holds her back from getting up from her seat in the stalls. At home, Sally's mum watches the contest on her black and white television. She sighs pensively. The judges, sat at a long table between the front row of the auditorium and the stage, gaze up at the women admiring their curves. The girls maintain their fixed smiles.
Lovely though that view is, please turn back. And now, ladies, if you don't mind, it's time to lead off. Now, we've seen a lot of hope in this auditorium here tonight. And we're about to see some more, because while the judges select their final seven, here is the man you've all been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bob Hope.
Bob makes his entrance. Standing on the stage, he soaks up the applause before stepping forward to a microphone stand.
Thank you. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. It is so nice to be here. I don't know about you, but I think I've had just about enough of these women livers claiming that this is nothing more than a cattle market. Talk about milking a grievance. Oh, really, as far as I'm concerned, it goes in one ear and out the other. The real reason that I'm here is we take Miss World down to our Christmas show in Vietnam every single year. It's a great morale booster. And at my age, I need it. I do love the girls we have here tonight. Beautiful girls. They're all so lovely. I love these ladies, in fact. I don't want you to think I'm some kind of brute that doesn't consider the feelings of women, of course. I consider feeling women all the time.
Fuck this.
No, but I would say that about two...
Led by Sally, women from the liberation movement sat in the stalls and in the circle get to their feet and throw flower bombs at Bob Hope. Their protest is heard over the tannoy in the ladies' dressing rooms. Dodging the missiles, Bob retreats to the wings.
This is out of control.
You stay where you are.
Armed with a water pistol, Joe runs towards the stage. Others follow. Chaos erupts in the auditorium. Eric Morley charges around backstage in a state of panic.
Where's Neville? Neville? Where's Neville? Where's Neville? I'm not bloody out here when I get hold of
it. Sally laughs raucously at the disruption they've caused. Gareth sits at home watching the broadcast with disbelief on his face. In the dressing room, the finalists listen in to the commotion with sadness in their eyes.
Hang around like a bloody headless chicken. Tell him to pull the plug. We can't broadcast this bloody shambles.
Police arrive at the theatre. Jo makes her escape and runs out through the foyer. An officer tackles her to the ground. She falls flat on her face on the red carpet. Fueled with adrenaline, Sally makes a beeline for the stage. With her water gun outstretched, she climbs the steps onto the stage and fires the pistol at a traumatized Bob Hope. Police catch up with her and pin her to the ground. Jo fights against the restraining officer. Women's liberation movement leaflets rain down from the dress circle. Two policemen pull Sally up from the floor and frog march her off the stage. Distressed, Bob Hope returns to his dressing room and smashes a glass.
Make an announcement. We're going off air.
We do apologise, ladies and gentlemen. Proceedings here have been temporarily interrupted. But we'll be back with you very shortly.
Mrs. Hope chuckles to herself as she listens to the announcement.
Fascist pig! Do you make us dirty work? Have you got a thought of your own? Get what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Didn't your mother be proud of you the way you're treating women?
In the wings, Julia brushes the flower off Eric's suit.
What a mess.
Joe and Sally are robustly led down a corridor in the theatre. The show restarts.
Ladies and gentlemen,
to announce that everything is now under control.
Still on.
Normal service will resume.
Please give a warm hand to a very brave man.
That's you, Mr. Hope. Very brave man.
Julia gently pushes him on stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say that any type of person that would try to destroy such a joyous occasion as this one, upset all of these young ladies back here, well, as far as I'm concerned, they just got to be sick in the head.
And the finalists tonight are, in alphabetical order, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Africa South, Pearl Jansen. Also joining her on the stage, Miss Brazil, Sonia Yara Guerra. Number three, Miss Grenada, Jennifer Huston. Miss Israel, Erith Lavi. Miss South Africa muses tonight, Jillian Elizabeth Jessup. Miss Sweden, Marjorie Christelle Johansson. And finally,
you'll be very happy to know from the United Kingdom here, Yvonne Ann Orms will be with us.
Missing the cut, Miss America dissolves into tears.
Oh, shit.
If your nerves are suffering, I know mine are, spare a thought for our seven lovely finalists, waiting now with the eyes of the world upon them.
As is customary, we shall reveal the results in reverse order.
In third place, Miss Israel, Erith Lavi. In second place, Miss Africa South, Pearl Jansen.
Pearl, shocked and stunned to hear her name called out, a jeweled tiara is placed on her head before she takes to the stage.
Miss World 1970 is Miss Grenada.
Jennifer cannot believe her ears. Her fellow contestants nod at her. Miss Sweden gives her a hug.
Congratulations.
Wearing her white one-piece swimsuit, Miss Grenada, beaming from ear to ear and with tears glistening in her eyes, appears on stage to rapturous applause. She takes a seat on a throne. Eric Morley places the winner's glittering crown upon her head. The runners-up clap the winner. With a golden cape placed over her shoulders, she rises up from her seat and parades to the edge of the stage, holding a golden staff. Members of the audience from Grenada delightedly wave their country's flag. Press flock to the end of the stage to take her photograph. Backstage, Eric Morley crosses paths with Sally.
And if anyone's got any bright ideas about what I should say to the BBC's Director General when he calls, then feel free to share them. If you girls think this is the way forward, then God help us all. Excuse me.
Sally's led down a flight of stairs to a set of double doors.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I really need to use the ladies.
Leaning up against the basins in the ladies' powder room, Jennifer closes her eyes and takes a moment to compose herself. Sally enters the room.
Sorry, you won.
I thought if I could get a moment alone, it might just sink in.
Wow. Congratulations.
I don't think you mean that.
It's not you we're angry at. It really isn't.
I saw you. You were on the television. You know, there will be little girls watching tonight who'd see themselves differently because I won. who might just start to believe that you don't have to be white to have a place in the world.
I'm glad. I really hope that the world opens up for them and for you. But making us compete with each other over the way we look, doesn't that make the world narrower for all of us in the end?
Jennifer contemplates her response.
What's your name?
Sally.
Well, Sally, all I can say is I look forward to having your choices in life.
Come on, you've been long enough.
Look, I'm really sorry if you're offended in any...
Come on, move!
Please, be careful!
Move!
Don't hurt her!
Joe and some of the ladies from the Liberation Movement chat in the back of a police van.
I only came down because I heard it on the radio. I left the baby with a neighbour.
The ladies sit in a stunned silence. Sally's shoved into the back of the van. In his hotel suite, Bob stands before the telly, sounding off to his wife.
Christ, you saw what happened. The whole world saw what happened.
If you're looking for someone to kiss it better, try calling Miss World 1961. 3 p.m. California time. She should be up and about by now.
Not now, doll.
I don't know what I did wrong.
Dolores puts down her magazine and rises up from the sofa. She crosses the room to her husband and cups his face in her hand.
Is anyone dead? Hmm? Did we lose a war?
No.
Well then. Tonight may be the start of something, Bob. But it isn't the end of anything, certainly not you. People love you. Nothing's going to change that.
Dolores picks up her coat and clutch bag and ambles towards the door.
Doll? Doll, where are you going?
I'm going to find myself a quiet little club somewhere, get a drink. Maybe even sing a little. Who knows? Don't worry, Bob. I'll be back. I always come back. Those crazy women, huh?
With her arms folded across her chest and a snarl upon her face, Jo sits slumped on a wooden bench in a police cell. Sally's shown into the communal cell.
Keep asking about the bomb. They think we're part of the Angry Brigade.
It's just scare tactics.
They're talking about charges, affray, assault.
Sally, they're just trying to rattle us. Listen, nothing's changed. We're having a shit time because of the patriarchy, and we're still having a shit time because of the patriarchy. It's just a bit more obvious in here. And they went easy on me because I told them I was pregnant.
Are you?
As a matter of fact, yes. 3 months.
Are you all right?
Are you? When I was trying to get away, this cop just threw himself at me. And I hit the ground really hard.
Are you in pain?
Any bleeding?
I've got bruised knees.
About 6 months, you'll be dreaming of bruised knees. Congratulations. Thanks. Who's the father?
Sally, you're hilarious. Even in a prison cell, you're the most bourgeois person I've ever met.
The girls smile at one another. A new day dawns. An aerial view across the capital. The Daily Mirror paper leads with the headline, "And oh, what a wild world." The Daily Express, "Miss World uproar." Newspapers from across the globe also run the story on their front pages, alongside pictures of Jennifer. Fed up, Eric Morley sits in his office, casting his eyes across the headlines. Julia stands by his side.
Every front page in the world. Clever girls.
Gareth, Evelyn and Abby stand outside the police station waiting for Sally to be released. Joe's first to appear.
Come on.
Oh, she looks exhausted, poor girl.
Hello, Joe. All right. Yeah, you're
here. Here she is.
Sally throws her arms around her family.
You okay?
She nods.
Mum, is there going to be a court case?
She nods again.
Oh, well, we'll have to see about getting you a nice smart suit. It's all right, you know. I never listened to my mother either.
Sally wraps her arms around her teary-eyed mum and squeezes her tightly. Sally lovingly rubs Evelyn's back. A welcome home party is thrown for Jennifer.
Wonderful, the most beautiful girl in the world.
Jennifer chats with a group of young black girls. Caption: Jennifer Hostin never did get to work in broadcasting. An image of the real Jennifer smiling at the camera fills the screen. Jennifer studied political sciences and international relations at university. Age 30, Jennifer became the Grenadian High Commissioner to Canada. Joe, Sally and three other ladies come out of Bow Street Magistrates Court. A group of women waving banners gather round to cheer them on. Caption: Five women were prosecuted for disrupting the Miss World contest. Sally Alexander was found guilty of breaching the peace. The footage cuts to the real Sally Alexander today. Sally became a professor of modern history at the University of London. Overjoyed by the reception, Joe giggles on the steps of the Bow Street Magistrates Court. Joe Robinson was found guilty of breaching the peace and throwing a dangerous missile. A close-up of the real-life Joe with purple curly hair and sequined hat smiling at the camera. Joe had her baby 5 months after the trial. She later qualified as a midwife. Miss Africa South Pearl Jansen returned to her home in South Africa. Present time. Pearl is seen sitting on a veranda looking directly at the camera with a sunny expression on her face. Caption: Pearl lived under the apartheid regime for another 24 years. Age 58, Pearl fulfilled her dream of becoming a singer. Stood side by side outside the court, Joe takes Sally by the hand and jubilantly punches the air. The Miss World protest succeeded in putting women's liberation on the map. a montage of shots of demonstrations in the 70s. Three months later, thousands took to the streets of London in the first Women's Liberation March. Caption: attempts to bring down the patriarchy remain ongoing. A film by Philippa Lothorpe, starring Keira Knightley as Sally, Gugu Mbatha-Raw as Jennifer, Jesse Buckley as Joe, Keely Hawes as Julia, Phyllis Logan as Evelyn, with Leslie Manville as Dolores, Rhys Ifans as Eric, and Greg Kinnear as Bob. Audio described by Penelope Parisi. The end.
Very slowly walking, always slowly walking.